Chapter 24. I seen her through the window before she clocks me. Her head's bowed low, so all I can see is this fountain of yellow hair and these pale skinny fingers wrapped round a mug of tea. I know it's her, though. I can tell by the safety pins all the way up her top. Can I help you? The waitress is already on me, blinking through suspicious eyes as I push through the door. I doubt it. I bust my way past her, thinking, "Rah, you don't want to help me. You just want me out of your cafe. That's what it's like in these inns. I can tell." Miss Murfield's head flicks up like it's on a spring and her face melts into a smile. "Do you want a drink?" she says in a tone that's over bright. My mood grinds lower. I can't be doing with lightness and smiles right now. These last few days it's been bad news after bad news and it feels like I've run out of energy. First the shack got shut down. Then someone broke into our room and bust the microwave trying to yank it off the wall. And then this morning, JJ stopped by the hostel to look for a place to hide the piece he's holding for Wayman. The woman's hovering, so I asked for a Coke. No please or thank you. Ever since I walked in, she's been watching me like I'm about to launch myself at her cash register. I want to say to her, "Rah, you look at all your customers like this. You give them all squinty eyes like you're giving me. How are your teeth?" Miss Murfield bobs her head around like she's a fly trying to get in my mouth. I peel back my lips and flash my gums. "Well, they look..." I clamp my mouth shut. "Oh." Miss Murfield waggles her eyebrows like she's been snubbed. "Okay." I stare at the table. I don't mean to rile her. If I was feeling it, I'd tell Miss Murfield how my teeth was all smooth and how they ain't giving me no troubles no more. I've been cleaning them most nights, and Natalia keeps making me wash my mouth with the pink stuff even though I don't like the taste. I know I should say all this stuff to Miss Murfield, but I can't seem to push out the words. "They're fine," I say under my breath. The waitress comes over and starts pouring my Coke into a glass. Don't ask me why, but that pisses me off, so I tell her to stop. She struts off and I swear she does this little snarl as I lift up the can to my lips. "That won't help, you know." Miss Murfield gives me a nod. "Huh? The Coke?" She pulls a face like she knows I ain't gonna like what she's saying. "Sugary drinks. They rot your teeth." I freeze, feeling the Coke fizz and pop in my mouth, tingling on my tongue just how I like it. "That ain't true about it rotting your teeth. It can't be. I never heard that before." Miss Murfield eyes me as I swallow my mouthful. It tastes bitter and sharp in my throat. "You're right," she says. I nod, pushing away the can of Coke and sinking down in the fancy wood chair. "I'm cool," I lie. "Everything's cool." Miss Murfield leans forward and I can tell she's waiting for me to look up. My head's all heavy, but I heave it up slowly. "What happened about the keyboard thing?" she says. "Did you..." "No," I reply loudly, feeling a fresh wave of rage swell inside me. "They shut everything down." Miss Murfield don't get it. So I explain about the shack and the studio and the collaboration. Ash was right. Turns out, with the studio and the youth group gone, there ain't nothing to link to no ends. The collaboration ain't gonna happen. Word is, Vinny got offered another job with the council, some new youth scheme on the other side of town. Miss Murfield comes out with all these words like shocking and terrible and the like, but I just shrug. Fact is, no amount of words can change what's happened. What's done is done. Just gotta move on. Besides, my attention's already flipped to the envelope sitting on the table between us. "Oh, sorry, here." Miss Murfield shifts her mug to one side and hands me them. They feel all thin between my fingers like there ain't much inside. "One more came in the post this morning," she says, nerves showing in her voice. She starts jabbering about how these ain't the only options, how there's plenty more still to come, how there's always jobs coming up, rah rah. I zone out, flipping through the envelopes and taking in the look of my typed up name on the front of each one. I don't want to open them. I just want to keep feeling the paper in my hands, looking at my name and thinking maybe. Maybe is better than no. And you got to be realistic, like Miss Murfield says. Even Ash couldn't get himself a job, and he's got bare qualifications. Honest to God, I know what these letters say inside them. There's only one thing they can say, but keeping them sealed It feels like I could be in with a shot. But the important thing is to keep trying. I look at Miss Merfield and realise she's been giving me the same talking to as I've been giving to myself in my head. I tear into the first one. As I pull out the page and feel its flimsy edges in my fingers, my brain flips to what Miss Merfield said to me the week before. You're smart. You're good. The words ping around my head make me think, rah, maybe this is it. Maybe I can do this thing after all. I unfold the sheet, clocking the logo and company name, then scanning down and slowly picking out words, feeling something drop inside me. Regret. Inform. Unable. My eyes flick to Miss Merfield's and I shake my head, reaching for the next one. It's another rejection. The third one feels wrong in my hands and I can tell it's a no even before I've opened it. They ain't even bothered to write two lines of words. I feel like not even opening the fourth one. Miss Merfield's watching me. I can feel her eyes on my face as I slowly push my finger into the fold. It's thicker paper. That's the first thing I notice. Then my heart does a little jump as I see there's bare words on the page, more than on all the others put together. Then I see the words, oversubscribed. My mood spirals in a downward direction. I told you, I say, shoving the pile of torn up paper in Miss Merfield's direction. She frowns, her hand diving for the letter on the top. I told you there ain't no jobs. I kick the table leg hard, making the Coke can jump on the spot. My heart's pounding, the pressure building up inside me. This one, oversubscribed, I say, like Miss Merfield's retarded. But it says that there's apprenticeships. What? I stay put, eyeing the letter suspiciously. They're unpaid, by the looks of things, but you never know what unpaid. I pull my ugliest screw face. Ain't a job then, is it? Well, it gives you experience, so you can... Yeah? And what am I supposed to live off while I'm getting experience? I look at Miss Merfield, eyes wide as they go. This is the thing about her types. This is what makes me mad. They got all the answers for the long term, but they forget about now. It's just like the politicians on the TV. They don't talk about jobs, they talk about careers. They can tell you how much you'll be earning in 3 years' time, what you should be doing, rah rah. But when it comes to how to get through the next 3 days, they ain't got no clue. I look at Miss Merfield, my eyes travelling down her white top with its frills and tassels and safety pins, down to the leather belt round her waist. It's like she's trying to make out she don't have no peas the way she dresses. Well, I know that ain't true. It's all right for you, I say through gritted teeth. You got money and housing and qualifications. I think back to the place with the wood and the shiny piano. You got rich friends, you got a daddy who gives you pianos and peas on tap. Actually, I will try being me for a change. I cut her off, jumping to my feet and kicking back my chair. I ain't never even met my dad. I ain't got no nothing on tap. I fling myself through the door, shooting daggers at the waitress as I bust my way onto the tree-lined streets. My eyes stay trained on the ground as I go, thoughts spinning round my head. Apprenticeship. Like that's gonna help. Keep trying. For how long? How long should I go without food? JJ's right about this after all. I must have been crazy to believe some middle class woman over JJ. I've got to make my own peace. I ain't working for zero cash when I can make good sterling on the roads. A cloud rolls in front of the sun and a breeze picks up, whipping an old plastic bag into the air. I'm back in my ends. There's soggy cardboard under my feet. Some tramp's bed pushed out of the doorway of KFC. I take a deep breath, filling my lungs with grimy air as I turn off towards the hostel. There's something different about the place. I feel it as I head up the steps and key in the code. It's only when I'm closing the door, scrunching my eyes shut to force them to work in the dark, that I work out where it is. Couple of rocks? Comes this voice out of nowhere. It's a weak voice, pathetic and small. The voice of a crackhead. My eyes adjust and I take in the jagged shoulders and greasy hair. That's when I work out what's different. Michaela ain't hanging around. Usually she's standing on watch by the door, big shoulders hanging in the shadows, waiting for her cats to come crawling. Her post deserted. I don't know where she's gone. But she ain't around. And if she ain't around, I think to myself, then that's an opportunity for me. I know how shutting works. How hard can it be to stand around with a few pebbles under your tongue, ready to spit them out to crackheads or swallow them if feds come by? I picture Pop's pad, his boys on the door, his twinkly smile, the line of youngers messing about on the settee. He don't know me as a shotter, but he trusts me. Maybe he trusts me enough to sell me small amounts of food. Maybe then I can grow my land. Crackheads ain't loyal. They go wherever they can get the best rock. If Pops' stuff is purer than whatever Michaela's dishing out, then all I need to do is convert this skinny cat and she'll tell the others. I've got myself a ready-made business standing right in front of me. Yeah, I say to the skeleton. I can do that. I nearly laugh to myself as I head back onto the street, making a beeline for Cabal. Half an hour ago, I was being told to take on a job that paid 0p's for how many hours. Now I'm looking at raking in 2 bill a day. I must have been out of my mind.